A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off every plan. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Disability Empowerment Now, pre-season 5, a season of healing. I'm your host, Keith Murphy DeGincini. Today I'm joined by my brother, not biologically related, of course, Derek A. Derek, welcome to the show. I've been wanting to have you on for quite a while.
Hey, it's a blessing, my brother.
So we know each other from our time together at Meadows Behavioral Health, which I consider a mental health retreat, because let's be honest, that's all we did there. It shouldn't be called a rehab, even though that's what it is. How are you today?
Oh, man, I'm blessed by the best. Enjoying life and what life has to offer.
Good. I hear you have a few kids on the way to already add to your brood or gang. I don't know which, why don't you tell the viewers and the listeners more about you and how you became so blessed and so lucky to have a total of 17 children?
Yeah, man, it's definitely been a blessing too. Wasn't a well planned, sir, that, you know, I have plans for me, and that's how it ended up working out. But it was also mixed with the life of being a knucklehead as well, too. You know, I was kind of always stuck in my ways and wanted to do everything my way and never really tried to settle down with anybody. But I also played drums in a rock band and been blessed to tour the world and kind of enjoy life like that. So I never had the opportunity to settle down with anybody. I just kept having kids.
And now you're very blessed again to find your life partner, a woman by the name of Destiny. She snagged your heart, which I think it's super cool. I also think your whole story, all the ups and downs, which we'll get into in a bit, was very, for lack of a better word, inspiring and empowering to see you there at Meadows with all your baggages, all your tattoos. I mean, damn, dude. Do you have more kids or more tattoos? I'm really betting on the latter here, given that I've seen you in a wife beater and without your hat. But tell me, what makes Derek A tick?
Man, my kids keep me going, that's for sure, and they keep me blessed. You know, I've I've been fortunate, and it's kind of funny. So listen, I always tell, when people ask me how many tattoos I got, I tell them I got it narrowed down to 8. You know, I've learned to have fun, but, you know, like my whole upper body is completely tatted up. You know, I have a hoodie. So, you know, but then it's, I'm fortunate as well, though, because my kids, you know, they're not into tattoos. You know, and I like that. Like, I had somebody ask my daughter the other day, like, you'll be tatted up like your dad? And she's like, no. Like, heck no. Like, you see this guy?
You know, and I love that. I can't believe I came from him.
Yeah, but at the same time, I love it because, you know what, my kids have their own personalities. And, you know, I tell everybody all the time, it's not for everybody. And it wasn't a well thought out plan either. But, you know, there was a moment in my life when, you know, I never thought that I was going to come home from prison. And so for me to get tatted up like this, and, you know, it was more or less just to fill in with my environment, really. Yeah. Like, rather than fighting somebody for looking at me, now I know what you're looking at.
Yeah.
So that kind of like eliminated, you know, that fight or flight. You know, now I know what you're looking at.
Yeah.
But I've also been tatted up like this for going on 30 years.
Wow.
You know, so when I was tatted up like this, it wasn't as common as it is now. But, you know, so I volunteer my time with the kids and locked up, you know, in some of the same programs that I was.
Nice.
You know, I got in trouble as a kid. And, well, I got in trouble 12 years old for a murder. And then that basically kind of just carried it over to, you know, that's where I grew up. And it took me a long time. You know, it took about 150 months to where I was like, okay, you know what? I need something to change. You know, like coming into my 13th year, something just came over me. But I haven't found religion. I didn't find God. You know, I didn't find anything at that point in time. You know, I just wanted to change for me. I didn't find God until I came home. And even when I came home, it was probably like another 4 years after I came home that I found God. But once I found God, you know, he just gave me a heart and showed me what it was like to love. And man, that just really changed my life and my projection on how I look at people.
I mean, your beginnings, I would have never guessed your beginnings, what brought you to prison, what got you out of prison. Mm-hmm. And so I could ask you all about your teenage years for hours and hours and hours. Don't text me, Derek. Don't you text me. But I think what people would like to know, you found God, you found love, you found your heart. What got you into music, and how did you become lucky enough to tour the world? Because so many of us common folks are amateur musicians.
I grew up with it. My dad. My dad was a drummer, and he played in a band. He played bands, and he was traveling when I was a kid. And so he was always doing music. So I was raised in the studio. But it wasn't, I didn't take it serious until I was actually on the way home. Like when I was on the bus home, and there was two other guys that we was riding home together. Well, when I was locked up, you know, I'd have never in my life associated with these guys, you know, just because, you know, in that time, at that type of environment, you know what I'm saying? Like, white sticks with whites, black sticks with blacks.
Yeah.
And that's just what it was. So we never mingled. We never associated ourselves, not at all. Well, on the ride home, one of the guys, he was talking about, hey, man, I'll be seeing you play the drums. you know, and he kind of invited me into a studio. So when he invited me, I was like, yeah, I'll come down. Hell yeah, shoot. So I went and checked it out. And then I knew right then and there that I was just going to focus on music rather than, because I didn't know what I was going to do. Realistically, I didn't even want to come home because, you know, that was the life that I knew. You know, I got locked up at 12 years old, and here I'm coming home, you know, at 25 years old. And, you know, like that was the life that I knew. So anything outside of that environment was hard for me to grasp, which it still is. But I had two brothers, man, that they really, just from them hearing me play drums locked up, you know, they kind of took to that. And then that just kind of spiraled from there. I started doing music. And then before I knew it, I had somebody offer me to go audition for this band. And it was kind of funny. So I went and I auditioned with this band. But when I go in, you know, I'm a kid from Detroit. Yeah. You know, like I grew up literally in Detroit, and, you know, I was the minority growing up, which didn't mean anything because I always fit right in. But I go audition for this band, and these, man, they just got long hair and leather jackets with upside down crosses and all these metal patches. And I really wasn't into death metal or nothing like that. But I went down there, and the guys, we kind of figured that we had the wrong situation. And so I was like, well, I'm here. Let's jam. Well, we ended up jamming. And then that went from there. As soon as we jammed, that was it. They was like, you're our drummer.
Nice.
So I worked up the name of being the most gangster's death metal drummer.
And how long were you with that band?
Oh, I was with them from 2002 to 2015. After wow. Warped Tour quit, they cut Warped Tour out, the Vams Warped Tour. And that was the time that I started to have kids. Like, I started to be a father. And so that's when things changed, because I didn't want to necessarily chase a dream my whole life. And I didn't want my kids to think that that was the type of life that they had to, you know. Yeah. I just didn't want that type of life for my kids. So I made changes.
Joe.
No, so I really quit doing rock, quit doing death metal.
Joe, what were some of the important lessons you learned in prison for 13 years that you took into your everyday life? And what brought you to the Meadows, and how did you feel there compared to your teenage years?
Man, the important lesson that I took out of it was you got to be careful how you treat people, because you don't know who's had a bad day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's facts. Like, I met a lot of good people in prison. A lot of good people, you know, all it takes is one mistake. And that's why I try to work with these kids a lot, because that's all it takes is one, you know, just one slip up. It don't matter how much good you do in this world. It's just that time that you don't do something good. And I really learned, you know, just be careful how I treat others and how I approach people, because I've watched people get gutted for the simplest things. You know, I've watched people have bad days. And you know, in 96, they took smoking out of the government. They took smoking out of certain government facilities, and they also cut down on like coffee and things like that. And I was watching people, literally, there was probably 2 to 3 murders a week over coffee and cigarettes, and just people stressed out and having bad days. So I really learned how to approach people and be careful what I say.
Yeah, I always.
And I've raised my kids like that.
Yeah, I always make the unfunny joke that if I was president, I would try to outlaw cigarettes, and then a week later, you wouldn't see me anymore. It would be the shortest presidency in our 250 history. I mean, I wouldn't last probably 2 or 3 days. There will be World War IV over
me. Yeah, I mean, it taught me a lot about addiction too, you know, and not everything, you know, it just taught me a lot about addiction as well. And, you know, I've been blessed to, I believe that that's part of the reason why I wasn't quick to get, you know, to do drugs or to become like wanting, you know, the addiction part of it. You know, that's really what stuck out to me the most, you know, like people, I seen that people had the habit. And if you're willing to risk your life for something, then, you know, if it's not my kids, then I'm not going to risk my life for anything.
Yeah, that,
you know, unless myself or my kids are in harm.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I kind of took that, even everybody around me, you know, I'm on their heads, you know, I'll sit there and be cool with everybody. I love everybody. But, you know, I also be quick to tell people, you know, how bad smoking is and what it does for you. And, you know, besides, outside of wasting money, like, it's horrible for your health.
Yeah.
And somebody looks up to somebody. So if somebody, if I'm doing it, then my kids are going to think it's okay for me to, for them to do it. So they're going to want to do it. And I try to explain that to a lot of people, you know, somebody's always looking up to you and they're always, hey, he does it, why can't I?
Yeah.
You know, or, and, you know, so I don't smoke, I don't drink coffee, I don't do drugs. You know, I never got into it, you know. Now, it didn't stop me from selling drugs, but, you know, like, I was good at it because I didn't have a heart, you know, I had the heart for it because I didn't have a heart.
People,
but then God came and derailed my train.
Money somehow.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I've always been blessed too, you know, with like
God
music. And
God came into your life?
Yeah, when God came into my life, I met a friend that, you know, I got two older brothers and, you know, one's doing life in prison and the other one, he lives on the other side of the world because if he comes anywhere within the States, like, he's done for, you know, so he's got him. He found him a little place in Thailand and he'll never leave. And so I grew up, you know, like with knucklehead, you know, knuckleheadness.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't the easiest situation, but, you know, it was what I knew. But I ran into a good friend of mine that I hadn't seen in a really long time. And my name has always carried weight throughout my life. Even no matter how long I was gone, people always remember the dumb shit that I did. And so I ran into a good friend of mine and he got me good. He was like, hey, what up, Derek, man? Let's talk. I gave him my number. And then as soon as I gave this dude my number, he instantly started, man, let me tell you what God did for me. I was like, oh, man, you know, and hey, listen, I talked to my brother for about 2 weeks and then I ignored him for about 10 months. You know, I understand what God was doing. I understand what God was doing in his life, but I wasn't ready for that at my particular, you know, time in life. And man, this dude texted me every single day. Hey, brother, I love you. God loves you. To where there was an event going on and, he texts me and one of my coworkers next to me at work, he seen the flyer and he was like, bro, he's like, man, Bizzle. He's like, man, I love that dude. I listened to him. I'm like, go see him. He's, you know, then we got into a debate about how he wanted me to take him up there to see him with him. And I was just like, man, it's at church. Like, there's no way I'm not going. Like, I'm not going. So I ended up going up there to church with him to take him to meet my friends. And then when I did, I literally got like 20 feet inside the church. And then the whole half of the church just got up and come and pray for me. Dude stepped out. He's like, brother, I'm going to pray for you. Man, I stood in that circle with my fist balled, figuring like, okay, this is a big group. Like, who's going to get it first? Oh, that's all. Who am I speaking on first? But then about 15 minutes later, after I got up off the floor, man, I had a breath of fresh air. You know, something changed in me. And, you know, I was smoking weed, but it was not smoking weed what made me realize. It took me about 4 or 5 days. But I had a blunt in my truck. And, you know, like, regardless of the things that I do, I'm not going to get high and go to church. So I waited. You know, I was going to take my homeboy email. I was going to take him in there. And then I was going to leave and I was going to blaze up. But man, I held that blunt for like 4 or 5 days. And then finally I called my boy Sean and I told him, I was like, man, I think I'll give my life to Christ because things have been different in my head. Just the way I was thinking, the way I was treating people. You know, I had no want to smoke weed no more. And it took me a minute to, I was confused. But then after that, I started going to church. Went to church and my first like real conviction was I had a lady at church bet me I couldn't listen to church music for 30 days. And I looked right at her and told her, I was like, you're right, I can't because it's garbage. I don't listen to that stuff. Man, I went home that night and I cried my eyes out to where 2 days later I was in the studio and I called my homeboy that I knew was saved. And we used to do music back to, you know, we used to mess around back to the day. Man, I called him, invited him down to the studio and I told him what happened. You know, how I'm going to church now and trying to live a better life. And here this lady made me a bet that I can't listen to church music for 30 days. And I straight up told her, no, it was garbage. So I started making music and then we started making music for the Lord. Like I always made beats, but my boy was rapping and then that blew up. Like it just blew up. Like I just made music for myself to listen to. Something to be more positive. And then God just elevated me to a whole nother level that I'd have never in my life imagined. You know, he had me all over the country and I was blessed. But, you know, I did that for about 5 years and then it took me to realize that, you know, I still needed to step back.
Yeah.
So I stepped back doing music for a while.
And be a father.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell me, what brought you to the Meadows? And I like to put all my guests on the spot. What was your first impression of me?
Oh, man. Hey, you was humble. You was a blessing as soon as I came in. You know, I know it's hard. I know sometimes I'm not really that approachable, but man, we sat down, we had a little group together and then, you know, like your honesty and, you know, you just came up and talked to me and, you know, I appreciated that.
So what brought you? Yeah, go on.
No, just your honesty when you came to me, you know, you even told me, it was like, man, you know, hey, bro, you took me away. Like, I didn't know what the heck was going on with you. But, you know, to hear your story and, you know, just how quick I jumped in the group, you know, I was at the Meadows because I wanted help. You know, I wasn't there to shortchange myself or shortchange any, you know, like I was there because I needed some help. And I have, I'm still having kids. And so I got two little girls and. I got three little girls, but I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. And, well, she's about to be one with a woman that, man, she's a bad alcoholic. And it's so crazy because I was, as much as I've done knuckleheadedness and so and everything, I never been exposed to addiction. You know, I never let it bother me. Well, then here I had a kid with a lady who's an alcoholic and, you know, that really messed with my head.
Yeah.
And so I had a baby with her. She ended up being an alcoholic. So I took my daughter from her. And then fast forward like 3 years later, she was doing good, taking care of herself. She wasn't drinking. And so we went out, hung out. We went on a cruise or vacation. And then got pregnant again. Well, when she got pregnant again, you know, I didn't want to be with her, you know, just, I didn't want a relationship with her, not like that. So halfway through her pregnancy, she come around me again. She was smelling like liquor and everything else. So I did what I had to do. I called CPS and set everything up to where when the baby was born, I could leave the hospital with the baby, and which I did. This was in June. And so fast forward to October, you know, her mom was doing good. My problem is I don't hold no grudges. Ever since I found God, I don't take nothing personal and I don't hold no grudges. You know what I'm saying? Teach, to each its own.
Teach me how to do that sometime. Please teach me.
I mean, you know, in my life, a lot more of a blessing. But after that, she, so after I go, I took my newborn, we, got into it, you know, like I wasn't letting my daughter go. I would let my daughter see her, but I wouldn't let my daughter go with her. Well, then Halloween came around. And so I figured she's been doing good. Let me let her go. Let me let her come take the girls trick or treating. Well, she came and picked up my daughters.
Story ends.
Man, she came and picked up my daughters for Halloween to take them trick or treating. Well, she never brought them back. And so I started to go crazy in my mind. Well, I didn't go through the proper steps of the courts to where I knew that I could, to where I really had a say so. So when I go to call the,
they basically tell that there's nothing I can do, that that's their mom. There's no court order. So basically I was hit. Well, I was at front of the court every single day in Wayne County to where I was up there making a fool of myself. And then after a while, I got in a, after like 4 months, I got in a situation because the courts wasn't moving fast enough. Like I've had my girl since day one. And now you're telling me I can't. And this lady just straight up took off. No call, no nothing. So during the process, like I put myself in some counseling because I felt some old feelings coming up. Well, then when I was talking to my therapist and I finally got a court date set up, she asked me, like, what you gonna do if things don't go your way? So I told my therapist, like, if things don't go my way in court, like, I'm gonna go over there and kill this bitch. You know? And, like, realistically, that's where my mind was at. Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, you done took my girls from me. Like, I know I got other kids to live for, but, you know, like, to me, it's more about principle. You know, I couldn't set my pride aside. So that's actually what took me to the Meadows. And then literally right before I went to the Meadows, I got my court date and stuff. So I set it up to where I went to the Meadows and came home right before my court date.
Wow. And so how'd your kids now? I mean, you have kids by so many different mothers. How do you function as a family? I don't think anyone would recommend your lifestyle, not even you, I don't think, but how do you keep the family unity together?
We all get along great. Honestly, like me and all my kids' moms, we all get along. We have an outstanding relationship. But, you know, that's, I'm an honest person. Sometimes I'm a little too honest, I guess you could say, because, you know, I don't pull no punches. You know, it is what it is, and this is the situation. And so with all my daughter's moms, you know, we was never in relationships. And so it's just a lot of family situations that we do together. Yeah.
You cut out.
And I'd have my girls come and I'd fly the moms out. So we got along really good.
Oh.
I just have, you know, I laugh about it, but, you know, I had 24 different phone calls and personalities that I have to deal with. You know, because I still deal with not only my kids, but I still deal with their moms, too. But you know what I'm saying? Like, they like to gang up and get on my head. But also, at the end of the day, like, I know that they got my back and they know that I got their back.
Nice.
You know, and this is the life that I kind of made for myself. So they don't really hold no grudges.
So who's your favorite Don't answer that. That's suicide. But I want to know, what are you doing with yourself nowadays?
Nowadays, I'm still in the studio. I do a lot of music, but I work at Chrysler now, and I've been there the last 14 years, and so I work a lot. But I mean, I'm trying to show my kids that you got to work a job. You know, you can chase your dream, and I do want my kids to, you know, live what makes them happy. But realistically, like, out of all the money that I've made in my lifetime, it's not with me today. So, I mean, realistically, like, only thing I got out of playing music was I enjoyed my life. I got to see a bunch of cool places, and my kids have got to travel with me. But, you know, I just got, you know, 12 baby mamas out the deal.
Yeah. You know? So, thank you so much for dropping so much truth in this episode. How I like to end each episode is I like to think that both people with and without disabilities listen and watch this video cats and podcasts. I'm under no delusion, none whatsoever, that both groups and groups within those groups get right. The same things out of each episode. So as my guest, what do you hope that those listeners with disabilities get out of this episode? And what do you hope the listeners and viewers who have yet to discover or embrace their own disabilities get out of this episode?
With days, I just try to live a peaceful life and raise my girls the right way. You know, I want to be an example for my kids. I always used to use myself as a negative example. So now I just try to teach them a better life and just let them know that, you know, just try to show them their worth. Because regardless of everything I had going on in my life, I never knew my own worth. And it wasn't until going to the Meadows that I figured out that I was even worth it.
Wow, that's a very big reveal. So, what do you hope that people with disabilities take away from this episode? And what do you hope that those who have yet to discover or embrace their own disabilities take away from this episode?
Life is what we make it. Life is what we make it. You know, there's nothing that nobody's capable of doing. Everybody's capable of everything. You know, and I try to take that into consideration. You know, I know people that, you know, I got a buddy that he got his legs cut off, and this dude is a stock boy at Target. And I take that into consideration all the time because, you know, we are our own worst enemies, and we will get down on ourselves for everything and any chance that we can get. You know, bam, let's go get high, or bam, let's go get drunk, or let's go, you know, like, we are our own worst enemies, and we will tear ourselves down into the worst situation that we do not need whatsoever. And so, you know, I just try to really take that in, you know, to consideration. And I also try to motivate people because, you know, we're all human.
Yeah.
We all got to live life and we all got to enjoy life. And the only person that can put a smile on our face is us with the choices that we make.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. How was your experience at the Meadows? And what do you miss and what don't you miss?
Man, so I wasn't a big fan of the group therapy. I wasn't a big fan of group therapy at all. But I also realized that any relationship that we're in, you know, whether we're at work or dealing with somebody at the store or, you know, actually in a relationship, that sometimes it's good to take in other people's opinions, and we all don't think alike. You know, I think like I do, you think like you do. So to hear other people's situations and stories, you know, it also makes you realize that we're not alone. You know, a lot of times we feel like we're alone and our back's against the wall and it's only us, but it's not. And that was the one thing that I did take out of the Meadows. Honestly, like I really did like that place. You know, I went open-minded with an open heart, and it was rough at first, but I figured, like, you know, at the end of the day, if I do anything, then I'm going to shortchange myself only.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I'm only going to hurt myself. And if I want to be a better father, better husband, better, you know, better coworker, better friend, then, you know, there's some things that I have to take serious for myself. And that's probably that was probably the best, you know, decision that I ever made.
Wow, that's deep, man. Well, I thank you.
Bird watching, and, you know, you see me walking around with my binoculars and stuff. I still keep my binoculars, you know. I don't go nowhere near them, you know, or without them. Even when I feel a certain way now, rather than resort back to smoking weed or something, I'll just go pull up to the lake and I'll sit here and, you know, scope out what's around, you know, bird watch, and, you know, just look at my surrounding, just take nature in.
Cool.
Because it's so easy to forget where we come from.
Yeah.
You know, well, but it's also easy to forget the beauty that God has blessed us with, you know, right here in our own neighborhood. Sometimes we think that we got to grow up and move out of where we're from because we don't like it. But reality, you know, like that's in our mind.
Yeah. You know,
I hated Michigan growing up. I hated Michigan because all the stuff that I got into and the trouble that I got into and the life that I was living, it was like, man, I can't wait. As soon as I get old enough, I'm moving. I'm never coming back to Detroit. I still live in Detroit. I mean, I've traveled, you know, I've moved.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's no place like home. And to see the other beauties that is here, you know, I realized I don't have to travel across the country, you know, for beauty. God's got beauty right here.
Yeah.
All over. Have to slow our mind down and open it up and look.
Very well said, my brother. Very well said. Thank you for coming on today. And I hope to see you soon. Maybe we'll go out to dinner, make some music, mix it up a bit, say hello to your family for me, and particularly Destiny, and how I want to hear how your love story started, but that's another episode. I love you, brother.
Heck yeah, man. I love you, brother, and I appreciate you, man. It's an honor, and you know, we're going to stay locked in, and we're definitely going to be linking up to him. You best believe when I have any types of shows out there, hey, I'm definitely going to be hitting you up, and I'm going to be bringing you out to show you what we do. That'll be another episode for you.
Cool. I look forward to it. Take care.
Hey, man. Love you, brother.
Love you. You have been listening to Disability Empowerment Now. I would like to thank my guests, you, the listener, and the Disability Empowerment Now team that made this episode possible. More information about The podcast can be found at disabilityempowermentnow.com or on social media at disabilityempowermentnow. This podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts and on the official website. Don't forget to rate, comment, and share the podcast. You can watch full episodes on YouTube. But this episode of Disability Empowerment Now is copyrighted 2025.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off every plan. Terms and conditions apply.